All right, you should have your Bibles open to Romans 8, 28, 29, and 30. And we're going to continue going through this and see if we have enough time to get through the remainder of the verse today. But there is no doubt that Romans 8, 28 is, with no kidding and no tongue-in-cheek or anything like that, it is one of the greatest verses in the Bible, and especially in your sonship life. And it begins as our Father develops this within us, it develops within us the perspective of how our sonship life is to be lived and can be lived underneath His curriculum operating in our inner man, to where we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And the only way you can possibly know that, and again, this is one of the reasons why I'm not real concerned as I go through Romans 8:28 in getting every detail hammered out. I don't think that it's to be overly analyzed or anything along those lines, because what makes that powerful and real is what's sitting in verses 29 and 30. And that's what's going to cause that to really live in you. Right now, he has to get it out on the board, out on the table, and has to get it under your attention, so he makes a stunning declaration. And the first part of that, and we know that all things, and we last time talked about all things means exactly that. But the context won't allow you to make that an applicable thing to just anybody. Just the context alone won't. Because you're following along down through from Romans 8:14, everything that you're following down with contextually is you and your life as a son now, in the capstone of your sanctified position in Christ. By the way, just by mentioning that, nothing in this verse has to do with you being qualified just because you're a Christian. Which means when you see that phrase, to them that love God, that's not loving God because you've been justified and saved. A whole bunch of people love God. This is loving God in a particular context. That's why I said this is going to get more pronounced as far as how the context corrals the terminology, controls the terminology and phraseology as we go through the verse. And we know that all things, there's not every single thing that could ever or will ever happen to you and in your life, good, bad, great, horrible, and everything else in between. Now, we haven't got to who that qualifies for specifically yet, but just by the context alone, you know that he's not just talking about everybody. And there's going to be some uncomfortable things that you're going to have to face if this doesn't apply to you. Because if it doesn't apply to you, I can guarantee you all things aren't working for your good. There's only one way that can be true, and it's what this verse says. So right now we've been looking and dealing with the issue of that all things work together for good. And so as I said, the context won't allow you to either come along and think that what this is saying, and I know, believe me, I know, I looked at the exegesis of this. I know why some translations and those who manipulate the text will come along and say that it should say, and we know that God works all things together for our good. If you can play with the text and you can manipulate yourself, Greek rules of grammar and all of that, but I'm telling you, the real major league translators were those men in 1611 who worked on this passage. Those guys had an understanding that I don't think any living human being has in the Greek text. The most excellent, proper way this is to be translated is exactly as it sits in your King James Bible. And it's that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. This isn't God coming along, and the context of sonship won't allow you to come along and say, even if it said that, it wouldn't allow you to say that God is intervening, bending, manipulating, massaging all the events and situations of my life so that they all wind up as a blessing or wind up good for me. And as I said that we ended last time, nor is it saying that this is somehow, regardless of what our will is in it, that God being God and being a good God and a good great God, that He's just going to make sure that when the dust all settles, we're all going to be in good shape. By the way, there's a lot of very sincere Christians who run around and believe this doctrine called annihilationism. And there's a lot of, and annihilationism is where if you wind up going to hell, you're only going to be there for a short time because you're going to be annihilated. And then there's a segment of folks, even so-called grace folks, who think they're rightly dividing the word of truth, who believe that in what's called universal salvation, that you go to hell for a while, but when it's all said and done, after you've spent a long enough time in hell, God is finally going to save you and take you out of there, and everything's going to work out for good at the in the end anyway. So the real question is not whether or not you want to spend eternity in hell, but if you just want to spend some time in a really bad place temporarily until you've served your time, and then God will get you out. This isn't saying that at all. This isn't some kind of a verse that is going to be stood upon by five-point Calvinists and used as some crutch to be able to say that regardless of my will, God works things out for my good. The context won't allow it. That's why what I keep coming back to is, do you see the power of studying the Word of God contextually? Because when you study contextually and you think contextually, it frees you to use words and phrases all the time in a whole bunch of different ways. Them that love God. Well, yeah! I mean, how wide open is that phrase? Not much. Well, it says, them that love God, I love God. What's the difference between you and me, night and day? Why? I love God, you love God. I love God as His Son, who has already gone through orientation and almost completed my establishment. That's the difference. Somewhere you've got to be able to, and I say this guardingly, because I know this can get to be a problem, but for now I'm going to say it. You've got to get to the point where you recognize a discriminating difference between not just being a non-Christian versus a Christian, but the difference between being a believer in Christ and being a son in the capstone part of my sanctified position in Christ. There's a difference. And this is discriminating between that difference. But for right now, let's again confine ourselves that that all things, nationally, internationally. By the way, it's interesting to listen to some of the, I mentioned nationally, it's interesting to listen to some of the most popular talk show, conservative talk show hosts. They obviously don't understand this verse or have it working for them. They're the biggest bunch of hand-wringing, we can't have these horrible liberals doing this or that or the other thing. They're going to do it anyway. Every Republican in that place is a yellow coward, so it doesn't really matter. They're all going to do it anyway. I'm not trying to be unpatriotic. I'm trying to live as a son. And recognize that every part of that can benefit me. Good, bad, or indifferent. Good, bad, or otherwise. All things are going to work together for my good as I function as a son. And we're going to, I think, bring this into sharp focus here. But when we're talking about the working together for good, rather all things working together for good is, again, a highly contextually sensitive phrase. And in that respect, we're to understand and appreciate that this is only talking about all things that impact your life. This is only talking about the things that let's put it this way, that stimulate your life, that touch your life, one way or the other, good or bad. And you take all those things, and listen to this very carefully. Let me ask you before I say this, and what do you think that all those things that impact your life, stimulate and touch your life, What are they going to work together with for good? How are they going to work together for good? If you were to explain it and say it, what would you say? Yeah. Yeah, they're going to work together with that curriculum for good. And that's very important in this, because you take all the things that happen to your life, the difference between you and just the average Christian, or you and the non-Christian, but let's keep it within the realm of Christianity, the difference between a nominal believer and you as a son who is serious about your sonship life, you take all the things that happen to you in life, and again, it's like your father sitting you up here, letting you look at the whole parade, and say, everything that's going to touch your life, you take all those all things and marry those things with the curriculum for your sonship education, then by the effectual working of that curriculum in your inner man, that sonship curriculum has the capacity and it has the ability and the strength and the power and the might to take any and everything that impacts your life. You may get told tomorrow that you have cancer. You may be told tomorrow that a loved one has died. You may get the worst, most tragic news you could ever get. And still, this curriculum has the ability and the capacity and the power to take everything and anything that impacts your life, good or bad, and work them with that curriculum for your good. For you to be able to be better educated and better qualified and better trained. And I'm not trying to be cold about anything. I'm not trying to be coldly calculated about events that transpire in your life, because some of them are highly emotional things that happen to you. But the Father has said, all right, I've constructed this curriculum. I didn't come along and set this all out and then say, whoopsie, gee, I forgot that you have to live your life. No. He's aware of every horrid, tragic thing that could happen. He's aware of every stimulating, wonderful thing that could happen. And he didn't design this curriculum, write it all out and think it out, and just with no real thought at all to the fact that you have to live your life in a framework of time and space. You have to live for us as a citizen of the United States of America in the 21st century. And there's things that are going to impact us that would never have impacted Paul. There's things that we're going. And the Father didn't come along and say, oh man, I blew that. Well, most of it works out pretty well. Who would want to sign up for that? Not me. I don't want to sign up for something that says, come along here and be trained by me and everything, and things are going to work out generally pretty well. Well, I can get that in the Army or the Navy or whoever. I can get that I can get that anywhere. No, this is supposed to blow you away. All things are going to work together for your, in light of what I've designed. There's nothing you could ever imagine and nothing that could ever happen to you in reality that I have not provided in this curriculum. Not, listen to this carefully, not so you can just merely endure it and get through it and gut it out to the end. They work together for good. This is going to actually profit you, benefit you, by you enduring this thing with my wisdom and my thinking and my knowledge effectually working in your inner man. You are going to in turn be better trained as my son than you would have been without it. And you're going to be better qualified for me to place you in a position in business with me and that creature, that due to the all things that happen to you and the effectual working of my curriculum within you so that it works for good, you can't imagine the profit that this is going to be for you. Do you see how wildly different that is than saying, well, there's got to be some good in it, and there's always a silver lining in every cloud, and by, in the sweet by and by, we'll all know and understand it. And this is nowhere near that. That's why I keep coming back to the issue of the highly contextual sensitiveness that this is, and that this is talking about taking all things that happen to you, marrying them, wedding them, joining them with the capacity, ability, and power of the curriculum, and to take every single thing that impacts your life, good or bad, and work them for your good. For your good. And good here isn't just the issue that all things work out as they should. No. It's the issue of it being good in the sense of it being for your benefit, and listen, for your usefulness. This is useful. Man, when that turns on in your thinking. By the way, this doesn't mean that I use this all the time because I think it hits all of us, and it's a good way to deal with it because it's kind of benign. But when we talk about politics and we talk about these kinds of things, and when I say I don't really care who gets elected, I mean that in the sense that it doesn't matter to me in the long run, because either way, I know that I'm going to be able to utilize my Father's curriculum one way or the other. But I don't mean by that I don't care in the sense that I don't vote. You know, go vote. Vote your heart out. I do. I mean, I haven't stopped voting because of that. But the fact of the matter is, you can be completely relaxed about it because you recognize, all right, so we got some clown in there that's, you know, obviously not concerned with our founding fathers and the way that our country was established. Okay. I've kissed that. I've said goodbye to 1776 a long time ago. The spirit of 76 is dead. Even in most conservatives, they don't have an idea what that's about. And so I say goodbye to Thomas and to Benjamin and to George and to John and to all of those, you know, James and all the founding fathers. They did a great job. And I wish it was that. I really do. If I had my druthers, I don't know what a druther is, by the way, or how to spell that, but I've heard it all the time. If I had my druthers, I'd rather have that than what I got now. Because, personally, I like freedom. In fact, I love freedom. I love the idea of being independent. I love the idea of having responsibility. But that's not the way this is going to go. If you don't think, you know, we're going to have these things, all right, so that's what's going to happen. There's opportunity in all of that. There's not opportunity in that for most Christians who all they can do is wring their hands and get together and say, look what CNN said. Look what Fox said. This is terrible. This is awful. We got to pray. We got to pray. We got to pray. All this kind of thing. Baloney. Oh, hogwash. I pray. I know how to pray for my leaders. But I'm not going to change. I'm not concerned with God coming down here and changing the events of our country and all of these kinds of things. This country is going to go the way of all countries. And it's not the greatest system that there could be. The greatest system of all time would be if Jesus Christ was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and reigning supreme with no other rivals. But I can guarantee you, if Jesus Christ came to the United States and told them there in Washington, all you guys, you're done. All you senators, congressmen, by the way, goodbye, you nine justices. And President Obama, you can go back to Hawaii or Illinois or wherever the heck you came from. Because I'm going to take over, and I'm not going to have a staff. And I'm not going to take any advice from anybody, and by the way, I'm not going to have any press conferences. We would take every nuclear weapon we had and train it on him. I guarantee you. So, you got to kind of get real about what's going on here and the grandeur of what's being told you. That all things work together for my good in the sense of it being an opportunity to benefit me. It's not just mere, by the way, and all this is going to sound like right now is just mere bravado until we go through verses 29 and 30 that prove the reality of it. But we've got to get the honest handling of what it says in its context before we do that. So there's usefulness. I can use this for just so many opportunities for me to utilize the wisdom of my Father and bring that wisdom to bear. All right, this is not a good thing, but this is an opportunity to bring my Father's wisdom to bear upon all these many and varied, to use that beautiful expression that the writer of Hebrews uses, sundry circumstances, situations, and stimulations that enter your life. And that curriculum that you hold there in your hand has the power and the might and the strength to take anything that touches you and cause it to work together with that curriculum for your added and continued benefit. For good. Good is probably the most general term you could possibly use. It's enormously broad. But the context focuses it. Each one of these phrases, loving God, called according to His purpose, all things, working together. It's the context that, as you peer through the microscope, snaps it into focus and says it's within this focus. This is the way it's being viewed. Therefore, the issue is we've got this thing called the curriculum for our sonship education we're holding in our hands that our Father is putting right into our hands. It's designed to be what we live our sonship lives on the basis of. And that's exactly, and when I talk about the curriculum, I'm talking about Romans, especially through 2 Thessalonians, but the Pauline epistles from Romans through Philemon. It's designed to be what we're going to live our life on the basis of, and that's, by the way, that's exactly what a natural, normal father delivers to his son in connection with adopting him. Some kind of a curriculum, some kind of an education that he's going to train him to go into business with him and one day run that business. And the issue is all things that take place. Well, I'm not going to say that, but the thought leaped in my head, but take me down a rabbit trail. All things that take place, therefore, in our lives, and again, it's taking all things on the one hand, and that includes all things. I know that sounds crazy and redundant, but it is. There's nothing you can stick in there that doesn't belong. All things. And on the other hand, over here, you've got that curriculum. You've got Romans through 2 Thessalonians, and the Father is setting you in His chair, getting you to overlook what He's done. When you take all things and that curriculum and you mate them together, You put them together and mate those two power, that the all things of your life with that curriculum, that's how it works together for good. And it works together in connection with the objective that our sonship life has in view. The Father has so well thought this out that not a single event that transpires in your life is going to be so that somewhere along that as it mates with the effectual working of His word, that it won't reach the objective that it has in view. It will reach it. And that's exactly what a son wants to understand to be the case. He's sitting there ready to embark upon his first class with his father to go into business with him. And the son wants to know that when he holds the textbook in his hand and he's going to begin studying it and he's going to begin being taught its wisdom and put that wisdom into effect, he wants to use the bad term that they use in Great Britain, he wants to bloody well know that this thing is going to work. He wants to know that the objectives aren't going to be thwarted somewhere down the line because I'm investing my life into this. I don't want to come somewhere down the line and find myself in a position where I've just screwed the business up so bad that I have to get out of it. He wants to be able to come along and hear from his Father and understand that what he's about to embark upon has considered everything, and only God could do that. And one of the great things about being a son of our Heavenly Father is that God never stops being God. He still is God. And his godness, if you want to see his godness put on display today, it's in his curriculum because of how he's thought everything out and considered everything. And he wants the son to understand that that's the case. That's what a son wants to know is the case. And what a son realizes by logic, that that's the way things ought to be. If you're going to demand a curriculum where my life is on the line in this thing, and I'm going to not only invest my life in it, but I am going to come to the point where I would give up my life for it, I want to know, even by mere logic, the way this ought to be, just by logically thinking about it, is then everything that happens to me from now on, when it's married with, joined with, and mated with this curriculum, will never thwart the objective of it all. It will never stop it. In fact, the Father says, that's what I want you thinking, but I want you thinking another step beyond that. It's not just going to not thwart your success. It's actually going to be used for your benefit. And that puts a turn on this far different than just saying, I can survive it with the curriculum. No, no. You're not just going to survive it with the curriculum. You're going to actually be more enhanced and prevail and be even better and more benefited than you were before by the things that happen in your life. So that's what I would want to hear, logically, is the power of this curriculum. But I just don't want to hear it. I'm not a child. I want to be convinced of it. I want it to be proven to me that that's the case. As an adult adopted son of my Father, I want to be, and it has to be, fully persuaded in my thinking and convinced in my thinking that that's the way it is. And when he operates, when I would operate upon it, everything goes toward meeting that objective. And that as a son, I'm going to be able to succeed and I'm going to be able to prevail in those all things that happen to me, that happen to you. And again, it's critical that you understand and appreciate this is not the issue of all things work together with all other things. I'll say that again, because that's the way a lot of people look at this. All things work together with all other things in our life. Good. You see the difference? Because that means if all things work together with all other things, God is still somehow taking this thing. He takes this thing here, maybe it's a bad thing, maybe this is a mildly bad thing, maybe this is a kind of bad thing, but he takes all these things. And if you think that what he says, we know that all things work together with all other things in our life, and they just come out at the end, God makes them come out for good, that still has God coming along, taking this thing, and that thing, and putting them together, and maybe arranging them in a certain way for some positive end result. And not only is he not manipulating things to assure good results, that God becomes this kind of quality control officer. Do you remember the Lucy episode on Lucille Ball when she was working in the candy factory? Now, she wasn't a quality control, but they get the idea that's kind of like what God is. You know, I love that episode because Lucy she winds up with her mouth, her hat, her bra and everything else full of candy. She just stuffs it everywhere. And it's like their picture of God is that he's this quality control operator, and as long as I love him. And by the way, there's a lot of people that could read that verse and not even be believers in Christ and just say, I love God. Well, I've offended a lot of people that way before. I love God. Have you ever believed that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried and rose again? No, but I love God. So this verse is for me. Don't take it away. Children. As an adult son, I like I said, to get back to that issue, most people look at God as this quality control officer who is watching the things of your life come out like on a conveyor belt. And it's kind of like watching, you know, a bunch of grapes come out that are going to be made into wine, and you go, oh, there's a stem, and he grabs the stem and jerks it off of there. Or maybe he'll take events and he'll say, well, this one should come here and this one should come here. And as your life goes on, he just manipulates things and he just reworks things and massages things till you get, finally at the end, it comes out, okay, that's a good result. And that's what I mean when I say this is not saying, that's what I mean by all things working together with all other things in life for good. Because this is not only God manipulating things to assure good results, but in that case, even the concept of all things work together, that can't even mean that all the experiences of your life that you ever will encounter work together with all the other things you encounter, and you know that can't be true, because the reality is that you would, even though you may not think so or you've convinced yourself so, there are many things that you encounter in your life that in all truthfulness are unrelated events. But people who view this verse from that kind of perspective I was talking about, where God works all things with all other things, they don't see life like that. But it is true. There's things that happen in life, and if you're honest with yourself, get alone, look yourself in the mirror, and I'm sure there'll be some measure of honesty crop up, that you're going to say, you know, that thing that happened there that day and that thing that happened over there that day, they really aren't related at all. I blew my tire out over here, and that wasn't at all related to me eating a double quarter pound cheeseburger, which did probably more damage to my body than if I'd have smoked a cigar. Or I had a drink of wine with my steak. You know, it's funny because some churches, they don't want the pastor to drink a drop of alcohol, and yet at the same time, they don't see a problem with him going out of McDonald's and saying, hey, pastor, he's probably just done more damage to him with that Big Mac than he did with a glass of wine. But what I'm after is, there, if you're honest with yourself, you encounter many things in life that in truth are unrelated events. And you can go nuts trying to relate everything. Of course, you can come to the point where you just put it in God's hands type thing. And if that's what you're thinking this is, even that's a denial of what sonship is at its very core. If you still think God is working all things with all other things, that denies sonship at its core, because that would demand God would come along and still intervene to tie all these pieces and fragments together so the sum total of them all turns out good. And that's not consistent with being treated as a son. What is one of the major issues of being treated as an adult son? I get to make my own decisions. I want to make them. I want to make them according to my father's will and my father's wisdom and my father's thinking. But I want to make them. I don't want him running in and, you know, having to bail me out of things. That's not consistent with being an adult son. And the critical issue here, and I'm not saying this just to try to come along and to use the biblical expression, wrest the scriptures and force them to say what I want them to say. But the only honest and possible way to understand and appreciate contextually that this isn't saying all things work together with all other things for some ultimate good that God is going to somewhere, somehow produce, is to clearly recognize that the only way that all things are going to work together for good is that as a son of my Father, I have the privilege, and you know this from what he said right up there, in the first part of your orientation, when he talked about, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be. We're going to suffer. And so I have the privilege of enduring all things, good and bad, and those things together with, mated with, in union with that curriculum for my education that I'm going to get and that's going to effectually work in my heart, as my Father's Son, will work together for good. That's keeping that in that context. And I'm not trying to force it into a context that doesn't exist. That's it. And the good is beneficial, is the beneficial results of having to. One of the things that going through some of these things it provides for us, it forces you to have to use that information to come to bear upon that bad thing. It forces you to use that information to come to bear upon something unpleasant that you have to go through. Something that you'd rather not go through. I'd rather not be taxed into oblivion. Or what I think is going to happen, for some of you in here are going to be taxed into oblivion. I will probably wind up in my pay scale to not have to pay taxes. Which would sound good, but that obviously means that since the majority of Americans are of my ilk, that means that we're all now locked in to vote for the guys who's not going to tax us. And that's a nice way of keeping Democrats in power from now until Jesus comes. So I'm wise to what they're doing. But even with all of that, I still have and still view this as opportunity to use. There's something my Father is going to teach me that even in the environment He first teaches it to me, as an adult son, I can take that thing out of that environment and say, hey, this can work right here. And so this isn't an impediment for my sonship life. After all, that's what's important, isn't it? If you come to this point now, because the next phrase that's the first qualifying phrase is to them that love God. If you don't have, by now, the understanding that the success of my sonship life is more important than the success of any other fill-in-the-blank part of my life, then you've got more problems than you know. Because that's the goal of this. The goal of this isn't for me to succeed as a printer or for me to succeed as a musician, which none of those things did succeed. Those are two lucrative careers that I could have had that I didn't want. And I have to, by the way, I have to struggle with this and deal with this far more than you have had, because I've had to deal with it for far longer. But I know what probably is going to happen. I know how wildly popular my message is. I'm saying that facetiously. I know that when I come to the point where I have to present myself as a living sacrifice, I not only have to look into the face of my Father and be able to, with all honesty, present my life as one that, if necessary, can be put out, can experience peril and the sword. And I'm willing to do that, but I'm also presenting myself, this sounds really weird for right now, I'm presenting myself to the adversary as well and saying, I'm going to look you eyeball to eyeball and I'm going to say, I'm going to take you on too. Go ahead. Do with me what you want to do and what you can do. And at first he's limited to what he can do, but he's very good at it. And that's not just, when you come to that point, it's not just mere bravado. It's not coming out of a Clint Eastwood movie hoping that the bad guy's behind your car so you can impress your girlfriend and take him on. It's the real sober reality that what my Father's giving me has the power to do that. And I got to tell you, I don't think anybody in this room has a clue as to what that guy did to Paul. Because what Paul suffered at the hands of Nero, what he suffered at the hands of men, was nothing to what he had to suffer in his mind. And there is a part of you that adversary can go after, and he knows how to go after it. And he knows how to make it so that you are, so that your spirit, your soul is screaming to your spirit for information to quell it and tranquilize it and give it peace. And if it's not there, you're going to be a mess. And your Father's telling you in this statement alone, I've thought of that. And this thing has the power to deal with all of that so that it works out for your benefit. When it's mated with my wisdom in this curriculum, it works out for good. So this, again, is critical to distinguish between the good being not just using other things to work out for good, but the good is the beneficial results of me being in a position that requires me to have to use that curriculum. I have to use the information contained in it as a son would use it. That's going to further train me in my vocational training. That's going to, so that in turn, I will be better qualified to receive my joint inheritance with Jesus Christ and gain the experience of having to use the information in the curriculum, whereby the result will be my success and my prevailing in whatever circumstances and situations ever come my way. All things work together. They work together with the curriculum for sonship education for good, for my benefit, for my well-being, to enhance and to promote my sonship life. In fact, having to endure all things, good or bad, in the context of being a properly functioning son of my Father, will actually be to my advantage. It's not only going to be just I can take it, it's going to be I can actually be put in a better position by means of it. I can actually benefit by it. It's not going to be to my detriment at all. And that's the startling declaration that the Father makes. And we know that all things work together for good. Now, before we finish the verse, are there any questions in connection with that first phrase? I'm going carefully and asking you so that if there's a wrinkle in it, but when it comes to, and we know that all things work together for good, any problems with it? Anything that you're sitting there saying, Mark never addressed this, he never said this, and I wanted him to say this. Any problems with that? Sure. Yeah. You take an extreme issue like cancer, and let's say that, let's take me for instance. I still haven't got that dumb colonoscopy, Gail, but I will. All right? So let's say that, and colon cancer is a really good example, because colon cancer, by the time you know you've got it, you feel you've got it, it's probably too late. So if, for instance, I found out that I had stage, I don't know what stage is a bad stage, but stage 4, colon cancer. All right, in that scenario, physically, that's not going to be for my good. I'm going to die of that. But what this is saying, that even in that case, there is information that my Father has given me that is going to allow me to be able to use that doctrine to bring to bear upon upon a life-threatening, mortal disease like that, that will work out so that when I've used that properly and His wisdom is applied in it properly, and it doesn't derail my life from either continuing on being educated as a son, becoming bitter, becoming and be careful when you talk about these things, because when I talk about not being bitter and not being upset, not being thrown off, a lot of people can do that. A lot of people can who don't have my Father's wisdom. I'm talking about it in a godly way, that I'm thinking about it the way He thinks about it. And there's a lot of competing ways to that people can just bear up wonderfully under certain situations like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the actual information He gave me. I'm using that to be able to even take that situation, and by using the doctrine, the using of it provides for me to be able to say, all right, I've experienced having to take that information and successfully use and apply it to that issue which I never would have if I didn't have that issue. And in that way, it works out for my benefit. I've tried not to say this because I don't want to get off into talking about this for 2 or 3 hours. But you might as well hear it. Somewhere along the lines here in Romans 8, 28 through 39, the thought's going to occur to you. Oh, now wait a minute. I'm not going to be sick in heaven. Or the thought's going to occur to you, well, now wait a minute. I'm going to be taught this information how to deal with my adversary and his minions, his cohorts. But am I going to have to deal with angels like that? Well, what do you think the answer to that question is? Believe me. You'll believe it when we go through it and it effectually works in you. You'll realize that it's all going to be useful in the creature. Even something like that, and I'm not saying there's sickness and disease in the creature that when we get there, but we're going to face situations that we're going to need that wisdom and to be able to use God's Word in ways that are parallel to what we're going through. That's why this is vocational training. You don't take somebody like in Tim's profession and you would do their apprentice work on a machine that or in a field that has nothing to do with what they're going to do. It may be a machine unlike what they actually wind up working on, but still the general, if what he tells me is true, and I only have him to, and I don't have any doubt of it, but a tiny little air conditioner in your car works on the same principle of a giant air conditioner. And the same principles of how to heat and cool air are the same on all levels. It just may be a different technique in getting it done. What I'm saying is vocational training can't be done by our Father to where when we leave this world and we get to the creature and to the heavenly places where you say, well, none of that really applies here. No, it does. So even in a case like that with the cancer and everything, the usefulness of his curriculum is working out for my benefit in something that will better enable me in that creature to function in the operations of my Father's business. That's going to become more clear as we go, especially when it comes to the way. This is why I said a long time ago, one of the things, the byproducts of this curriculum, is that it allows you to think like an angel thinks. It allows you to, maybe not think like it, but understand how angels think. Because even though you may be dealing with an unfallen angel, he's still an angel. And it's just like you've learned how Andrew thinks. You learn how individuals think. You learn how your husband thinks, how your wife thinks, how your kids think. And by knowing how they think, you approach them differently. But we're going to be judging angels. There are certain things that really impress us now that don't impress them at all. Like whoop-de-doo. And we're going to, as we adjust that table of likes and dislikes, we'll understand that better. That's just one very small example. But there's a lot of things going on here. So hopefully, does that help? Yeah. Okay. Anything else? We don't have a whole lot more time, really. But in fact, it may be a good idea to just stop right there because I don't think I could get through the rest of this verse today. Well, I might be able to. I don't know. I kind of hate to leave it there, but we are, well, we got a deacon's meeting, don't we? All right. That did it. But I'll just say this. Just as most folks get that first phrase goofed up, and we know that all things work together for good, it gets worse as you go on in the verse. With that last phrase, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, what you might call the qualifying phrase. And I think what we'll do is we'll leave that for Wednesday and go over that. There's not a whole lot to go over right there, but I still don't have enough time to do it justice. But what we'll do is we'll make sure, and that'll give you some time to think about, because this is one of the real turning points in my own thing. It may not be yours, but just personally it was. where I really began to think about the way I view things in life, and that while I would desire for better things, I would desire for a conservative president. My desire would be for all our taxes to go to the military. My desire is that any man who has received the Congressional Medal of Honor would be tax exempt for life. His children would be paid for the best colleges at my expense and yours. That those guys would not just be heroes, but they would never have to want for another thing. That we would revere our military who has bought our freedom for. I desire all those things. My desire for that isn't quelled. But my understanding now is how that whatever happens, it's going to be an opportunity of working for good. And I'm seeing that through the eyes now of how my father views the information he's written for me to produce that result as it works together with anything, everything, all things that happened to me in my whole life. That's what I had to hear. That's what I needed to hear as an adult son talking to my adult father. And now, once that declaration is made, I want to know why. And he's going to tell me, so that I have that full confidence and assurance that before I even open my textbook, Father, I know that every word of this is going to work, and there's no surprises. There's no, oops, didn't think about that. You don't. If you were in surgery, the last thing you want to hear, if you were to say, start waking up and you're kind of foggy, the last thing you want to hear out of your surgeon's mouth is, whoops. 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 What the heck? And isn't it fascinating that no matter when we live or what country we're from or what our background is, God has written His Word in such a way that it'll work no matter what. That's genius in putting that book together the way He has. That's genius. Well, we'll stop right there and pick this up next time.